All right, we're rolling, Brandon. Welcome to Yeah But Still. Yes. We have ceremony in the building. We have Brandon in the building.
Yep.
He's in a very good mood.
Brandon's on fire.
I'm in the building.
But yeah, we have...
The ceremony's in the building, the band ceremony, and somebody... We were tweeting at each other on... You said something about like, hey guys, I want to do some podcasts or something.
And Riley from Power Trip.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Riley said something like, oh, you know, yeah, but still. And then Jack was like, I'm a fan. And I was like, me too, I'm a fan. And then some fucking rando was like, Brandon, it's opening, it's ceremony the band, not opening ceremony the store. Yeah. And the
Got
thing
it.
Is, I can, I, you know, I contain multitudes. And I like both. I literally have the separation on heavy rotation right now. It's on my heavy rotation playlist.
You have fantastic taste, my friend.
That was, yeah, thank you. All right, well, Zed sent it to me.
Zed.
And that was sort of, that was my intro, is our mutual friend Zed Kutzinger.
Yeah.
Zed Kutzinger, very funny guy.
Factually accurate statement.
Zed Kutzinger, funny guy. So, you grew up with him.
Oh, yeah, we grew up together.
I don't know who this is.
He's a funny guy.
Okay.
Just,
is it just like a random guy you guys know?
No, Zed does comedy stuff.
He's getting a shout out.
Yeah.
He does like podcasts and stuff. He doesn't do stand up anymore, mm-hmm. but he used to.
I'm trying to get him back into it.
Yeah.
He said, quote unquote, when the time is right.
When the time is right. That's a bummer because I always thought
I think Clarity was a smash hit. So does he really need to do anything?
Yeah. Zed. Zed 2Ds.
Anyway, welcome.
He pulled a reverse childish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome, folks. How are you doing?
Great.
Well, yeah, good. I flew in from Omaha, Nebraska at 5 a.m. this morning. So I'm a little...
Damn.
I'm a little wild right
now. That sucks.
He's got that post-funeral
glow. I got that post-fune... That post-fune G.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good.
How was the funeral?
It was very Catholic.
Really?
Well, it sounds like you're being pretty passe about it, so.
Yeah, I'm just trying to downplay, you know, it was
you're
whatever.
Downplaying
I've gone to a couple this year. They're always, you know, they're not like the movies, I'll say that. They're usually a little more. I'm always like stunned by how informal they are, you know.
I'm always stunned by like how little black there is.
Yeah, a little black.
I mean,
there's always somebody that like ruins the mood. If you're gonna have like, even if best case scenario is kind of like a beautiful planned funeral, somebody's gonna screw it up and take you out of the moment. For
totally.
Sure.
There's gonna be someone wearing khakis that just fucks the whole thing.
There
up.
Were multiple Hawaiian shirts. At the one I went to
what?
Last weekend. Yeah, swear to God.
Who was it? Fucking Brutta is. Fucking Brutta is his funeral.
It was like,
I mean, I think he died like years ago, right? When did Brutta Is die?
Who is that?
Yeah, you know, like he does that Somewhere Over the Rainbow cover.
Oh, him?
That
oh, yeah.
Hawaiian guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which I don't know how, I mean, I don't know if he was like buried or cremated, but I mean.
He's dead.
It's safe to say he's somewhere over the rainbow right now?
Yeah. Well, if my man was buried. I mean, listen.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy. That's a fucking, like, you got to get some machinery.
That's a double wide.
That's a double wide plot.
You got to get some hard hats.
Yeah.
You got to get some fucking hard hats. There's a crane involved. And, you know, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
I mean, you need some jacked pallbearers for that one.
Yes.
You need to.
Yes.
I was a pallbearer.
Were you?
And
what?
It is
who died?
So, it is my grandfather.
I'm sorry.
It's all
man.
Good. It's all good. But
yeah.
The casket is so much heavier than you think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fearful.
Yeah.
There was 8 of us. And it was like, I don't know this
wow.
is,
yeah.
if we're going to be able to make this.
Now imagine your grandfather's Brutta Is. No,
may
imagine
I say,
for a second.
May I say, my grandfather wasn't not Brutta Is.
Oh,
okay,
he's a big boy.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, questions breed questions.
Yeah. Wow. Mine was, my grandpa's funeral was this year too. And mm-hmm. Well, he was cremated, but like, you know, it was kind of like par for the course with my family. It was like a little dysfunctional and like underwhelming. Like, this is kind of a nice ceremony. It was at a military funeral. So, like, the Navy does
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Did they do the taps?
They did the taps. They did the 21 Gun Salute or whatever.
Yeah.
Green
which
Day
actually
song?
Was like nice. That was like nice in the moment, right?
Yeah.
For like 20 seconds they did the thing and I was like, you know what, this is really great. But then like, and they fired off the shots.
Has anybody ever made a 21 Gun Salute joke where it's just 21 Savage shooting a gun in the air? has somebody made this joke before?
I don't think so.
Okay, great. There it is.
But what I was saying before Brandon.
Yeah, before I fucking riffed, before I made a great joke on our comedy podcast.
Anyway, back to my.
Yeah, before I made a joke on our comedy podcast. go ahead.
But they did the 21 Gun Salute, and I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe this is actually pretty nice. And then, like, literally 20 feet away, I hear another 21 Gun Salute, like, so close. Like, there's a couple trees separating us, and I realize I'm like, oh, there's like they're cranking another one out right there. They're like 10 feet away and just did the same shit. How many people are they burying around here?
Yeah.
And it completely. Damn.
So that was closer.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they were like so close.
Are there earplugs? Do they pass out earplugs at an event like this?
I think they did, but it was during our moment of silence. You know, they're like bow your heads after the salute. So all of a sudden now you're like.
Yeah.
It was a little nuts. But, and then we had a guy come through because we have like, you know, they have a little box they put you in. My grandma's already in there. And like, it's like some dude comes up with a Makita drill wearing like a Dickies overalls thing. And he's like, all right, I'm going to open this up for you. And he's like covered in dirt, you know, it's just like some Joliet, Illinois guy and like just drills open the box. And my dad's like, hey, look, it's the stuff we put in for grandma. He's like tearing it up. Like, wow. Like acting like it's a time capsule, but it was from like a year ago.
Right.
Like, hey, remember we put this in there?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, this dude's like just chilling there with the drill while we like say goodbye.
Look at this Adele 25 CD.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's just an Entertainment Weekly from last year.
Yeah, the guy with the drill, I swear, was like 10 seconds away from lighting up a cig. Like, that was the vibe. You know what I'm saying? It was like a little too casual.
Well, yeah, I mean, those people, like, they're so over it.
Yeah.
You're drilling caskets every day.
Yeah. I mean,
all day.
For some reason, I thought it would be not a guy with a Makita drill. Like, maybe they'd have a special one, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it's just full-on banged-up construction drill.
Yeah, death comes for us all, and it's not pretty.
At the end of the day, you know?
And at the end of the day, it's not pretty. How do you feel about that, Jack?
Anyway, welcome, boys.
Welcome.
Yeah.
We are welcome.
Sorry about the funeral.
It's all good. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome to you, but still. Welcome back. Ceremony, welcome back for the third time. I think I've welcomed you three times. But yeah, very excited. Very excited for this episode, folks. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great.
We both listen to you guys.
That's great. Thank
you. Also, I'm pretty sure we both listen to completely different albums and different sounds. I think we listen to basically two different bands, you know?
Oh, really? Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like...
He listens... So this Brandon listens to the better version?
I mean, well, no, you guys have, like, a lot of different sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the first couple albums were, like, closer to a hardcore band.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now the newer stuff. That song that I've been listening to a lot, it's not, it's a little slower.
Yeah, yes. It's not.
It's, like, more like
it's
new wave-ish,
yeah.
I would describe it.
Yeah. Sure.
Know? Almost like an Interpol type of sound or
sure.
maybe. Yeah. But they're both equally good. When did you guys, like, when did you switch it up?
I feel like the change, if you listen to the discography in order, the shift is pretty gradual and linear.
Yeah.
But if you're jumping all over the place, it's really drastic. But I would say with each record, there was a slight shift until, and now, you know, we're about to release our sixth record. So if you change a little bit,
when does it come out?
It comes out on August 23rd.
Nice.
Ooh, that's very soon.
Yeah, in the spirit world now. I mean,
that's
August 23rd.
That's, you're on the pod circuit.
Yeah, yeah. We're on the circuit.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting played right now.
The way you're holding that mic.
The way I jumped into it.
This ain't this first man's podcast this week. This man's been podcasting around.
Yeah.
I've been podding.
You've been podding around.
Yeah, I'm going to clean off the mics. I don't know if you have a podcaster. STDs. Yeah. Mouth
I smell
PDs,
other podcasters on your breath.
PTDs.
Disgusting.
Yeah. This is my favorite podcast I've ever done by far.
Already?
Already.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
I'm seeing you. I'm
sorry.
Hearing you on that mic.
Except for views from the Vista, Steve Fernandez and Zed.
Oh, yeah. Wow. What movie did you talk about?
It was my third time on.
Whoa.
And we talked about.
Were you on it?
I've been on it twice, I think.
We talked about Hobbs and Shaw the last time.
Oh. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes, sorry.
Fast and the Furious, that, shot in my neighborhood.
Views from the Vista is a podcast that...
Yeah, you probably parked next to one of the shooting locations.
Really?
Yeah. I'll point it out to you after the pod.
They went on a podcast where two of my friends bring somebody to... You watch a movie at the Vista and then you talk about it. The Vista, the local movie theater.
You want to plug that guy any more times in the podcast? Your friend,
I mean, I'm
Zed,
just, you know...
I feel a little cucked right now.
He needs the...
You feel a little cucked?
Yeah.
He doesn't... He's
guys,
not
if
like,
you're interested in checking out Brandon's friend's work, just Google Zed. You'll find
Zed
right away.
Zed.
Just Google Zed.
Cutsinger. Okay. Zed Cutsinger. He's not like a famous guy. I want to fucking... Bless him.
It
get
is
some clout. Get this, you know.
Get him some clout.
Get my man some clout.
A lot of different sounds. You know, when you change a little bit six times, you end up sounding way different than you used to.
Yeah.
It's good. Both sounds are good though.
That's good.
Say that.
We have very good taste.
The hardcore kids also respond to a little bit of change. As if it was the craziest thing of all time.
Sure.
Did they not take it well, the hardcore kids?
No. They're the ones
sometimes
who...
Sometimes I listen to some of this hardcore music and I like it, but I listen to it and I say, it's too loud. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. It's too loud. Calm down, guys.
Brandon came to the Power Trip show and was on stage with me.
It was
that
fun.
Was the first
I had a really good time.
I saw
time.
A photo of you on stage.
Yeah.
I had a really good time.
Yeah.
I love
their
face was really funny, though.
They're great.
Like, Brandon, that was... Probably the first show where a band was playing like any kind of heavy music, right?
That I
that you've been to.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
Because there was people like stage diving and stuff, and he's like, "What are they doing?"
No, I was just like, whoa.
There was somebody like two stepping, and he's like, "What's that called?" which is funnier because we were like literally behind the drummer, and it's like this packed. You know, it was at Sound and Fury, which is like infamously packed.
Yeah,
and like
people were popping
we're standing behind the drum set, like. The whole crowd could see us, and I'm like, I have to imagine there's people like watching us like casually chat in the middle of this insane show. Like, oh, you know, it's called two-stepping. It's you know,
it's a mosh move.
They do.
It's a mosh
like,
move.
You pull out your phone and like Google it. Like two-stepping. Yeah, two-step.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Two-stepping. It's crazy stuff. Yeah.
That's got to be great for the audience too, to like see bored people like having.
I wasn't bored. I was very engaged. I was loving it. I was like beaming. I was very like. No, I was really happy.
They put on an incredible show.
They put on a
crazy
show.
They're very
show.
Good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Shout out to all them.
Justin.
Riley.
His name is Justin on Instagram.
Yeah, Riley.
So that's very fair.
Yeah.
Very fair. Justin to guys.
Yeah, Justin to guys.
Which is a really good punk name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I love Riley.
Yeah.
Hardcore kids are the ones that feel they need to talk about how they feel about it, where people who dig it like it and move on with their day.
Yeah,
where it's weird, the thing that we've done is not unique to music. If you listen to, and I'm not comparing ourselves to this band by any means, but if you listen to just they're the first one that came to mind. If you listen to The Cure, their first record,
and then
you fast forward to 15 years later, sounds like two different bands.
Yeah.
Most all record from great bands, that's how they stay great, is their inspiration evolves over time. And that's only unique, really, in the punk and the hardcore scene. So they, so some punk and hardcore kids, it just blows their mind. But and if you just take us out of that subset and apply it to just music, it's very standard.
Yeah. Kanye West.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yeez.
Kanye West. Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
He does this. He does this all the time.
He's the guy. Yeah. He's the guy with the church, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You guys gotta check that guy out, by the way. Check him out if you haven't heard of that guy.
Yeah, Google Zed Kutzinger and Kanye West. Yeah, but you know, his first album doesn't sound like his last album.
Beatles?
You know?
Same band.
The Beatles? I mean, honey, fucking...
Name any of them.
Get me behind a keyboard. I'll fucking write about music.
Yeah.
Speaking of writing about music on a keyboard, pitchfork.com. You guys kind of have a relationship. Well, a strained relationship.
You guys, you three haven't you both have been scorned by the fork.
I mean, you've been hit with the pitchfork. Well, oh, Brandon, you guys got a 3.3 and a 5.4.
If you add them together, it's pretty good.
They've reviewed two albums of yours.
Yeah.
They've reviewed one album of mine.
Yeah.
5.7.
Damn, so you're...
Actually, it was not a good review, but it was good at the time, given the context. Yeah.
What was that?
Actually, no, the body of the review is good.
The body of the review is actually much nicer than the 5.7 would lead you to...
No, yeah. Like, most people wouldn't brag about a 5.7 as a band.
I'm not bragging.
But for you, it was like... Okay, I mean, you know, that's good.
The fact that the review happened...
The fact that they reviewed your comedy album is hilarious.
My ASMR album.
Yeah.
My dumbass, concept album. Yeah, the review, it's an honor just to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
They don't just write about anyone on that website.
Man, you're getting reviewed by a music journalist. Yeah. What a privilege.
Yeah, what a free music website. Yeah, it's just wild.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't music. My album wasn't music.
Of course.
The fact that they were just reviewing this ASMR album was very funny to me.
Well, that was kind of an outlier, right? Because nowadays you go on that website and they're like, here's who's starring in the new Marvel movie.
Oh, well, yeah, they love talking about pop stars.
Right.
And
right.
I'm like,
we're free to make fun of them now.
And I'm like, this is not, we've talked about them very early.
Yeah,
I've made a couple jokes in public about that and have had music friends hit me up immediately like, dude, delete that post. You're not
really
going to fuck us over. Yeah. Oh, when I worked more music, but I think it's safe.
Talked about how they'll give so much coverage to the new Selena Gomez album or whatever.
I used to say that the number on the review was the amount of grams of cocaine that your manager gave to the person reviewing it.
That's so good.
Which is not as
far off. Yeah.
No, I don't really not that far off.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I mean, that's for sure true. I've truthfully have never read a review on Pitchfork because I actually like music. And that's not anyone who any musician has never. I've never heard any diehard musician take that website seriously.
Yeah.
Ever. And look. We've never spoken about this, you know, but I'm happy. We're having a great time. I'm happy to chat it up with you two.
Everybody's literally having a great time.
It is literally British. But look, here's all I'm going to say. If it has come to my attention that the gentleman that wrote our last review,
Ian Cohen,
is that
I feel like he was trying to not name a name.
Yeah, don't bleep it, but it's very easy to figure it out.
Google
the review.
I forgot his name.
Yeah. It'll be on, we can talk about Ian Cohen in a second. But.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
Cohen.
Be so funny if a week from now we have a zero review on this episode.
On the podcast, they're reviewing worst new track. Yeah. The ceremony episode of Yeah But Still.
If the reality is, it has come to my attention that he is someone that gives favorable reviews to current and modern pop punk bands.
Yeah.
And if that is your, if that is what speaks to you,
yeah,
pop punk,
mm-hmm,
as mm-hmm a grown man,
yeah,
then you shouldn't like our band.
Sure.
Sure.
And the reality is, if you are a grown man and modern pop punk makes you feel
anything
a certain way, then you are a questionable human being.
I see where you're going, yeah, with this.
Yeah. And
see where you're going with
what
this.
You know, that music is for
Elon Musk.
That music is for 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay, what? Yeah. What are you?
I mean, I've said
saying
similar things about, well, Disney freaks.
Okay. You know? Well, like the van. I mean, yeah, pop punk.
Let's relax on the Disney talk.
Pop punk. Oh, yeah. Notoriously pedophilic genre.
Yes.
Pop, oh, punk, yeah. You want to talk about the Vans Warped Tour? That's a bunch of sex offenders. That's
it's pedo adjacent.
Everybody, yes, on the Vans Warped Tour should be on the sex offender registry.
Yeah.
And yeah, literally, yeah, that's why it's warped.
Yeah.
That's the most warped thing about the Vans Warped Tour, let me tell you. And Vans?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about the shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vans Warped Tour, more like Warped Vans Tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother, they're fucking kids. I swear to God, man. That's you know, everybody on the Vans Warped Tour, they
stopped doing it. There's, yeah, no more Warped Tour.
It's the last.
I think the current climate, yeah, was like, ooh, we better shut this one down.
Yeah, we, yeah, better, I mean, not. Yeah, yeah, we better
Epstein
stop doing
down
this Phoebophilia,
yeah,
tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been 30 years. I guess we should stop, yeah, harming children.
Yeah. 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 These bands have been touring this country and fucking teenagers for 30 years now.
Yeah.
You know, it's time we hang our hat. And we gotta don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened.
I mean, I grew up in the scene and like I was very much aware of all those bands and, yeah, stuff, and like didn't necessarily like listen to a lot of Warped Tour bands, but like, you know, I knew the songs and shit. And like, even it still seems sort of normal to me, like the way the lyrics and shit and like things that would happen, like, you know, there'd be like some girl in my crew that would be like dating some guy in a famous band, and he would like kind of, yeah, come around when he's on tour and hang out with us high schoolers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I was
weird.
Like, I mean, we are all really standoffish because we're kind of like also jealous, right? You know, we're like, oh, we're as cool as you.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
like 16, like, okay, we're as cool as you still, and your,
yeah,
band sucks, like,
yeah,
you know,
you're in yellow card. Fuck,
yeah,
off.
Yeah. but yeah, then as an adult, like hearing those lyrics back, I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, you know, hearing them back, and I'm like, these guys were my age,
yeah,
singing this shit.
You're 16 years old.
Yeah.
I'm a 30-year-old on tour. I met you outside of the bus. I mean, yeah, man. But also, by the way, yeah, it's fucking Ian Cohen, man. He wrote the 1.9 Childish Gambino review. And I remember there was like some...
That's a really funny reason to not like a
yeah
music journalist, by the way.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good reason.
After
to
what
like
he did to Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
When was it?
Well, this is like...
Brandon's
for
a Childish Gambino.
I love Childish Gambino.
Sure,
yeah.
Yeah. He's extremely talented,
yeah,
man.
He's amazing. But yeah, he like... I remember watching some old interview. I wish I could find it, but he's talking about the 1.9 review, and he's being like, yeah, that guy like lives in my neighborhood, he's afraid of me. Like, I see him out and he gets real weird. I really want to find it.
The reality
yeah
is that
Ian,
none of this,
yeah,
matter. Like,
Ian Cohen wrote yours. Brendan Fitzmaurice, he wrote my 5.7 review. Brendan Fitzmaurice, he's canceled too.
Oh, he's canceled?
No.
No, yeah,
well,
I feel like he gets a pass.
Is there a hyphen
no,
in that last name?
No, it's Fitzmaurice, one word.
Oh, Fitzmaurice.
Yeah, I don't know what he looks like.
There's good people that work there too.
Yeah,
good,
there's
of
good
course
people that...
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can you Google what Brendan Fitzmaurice
but
looks like?
But they're part of the... But, but
I think we've done this before. We don't want to do it again.
There may be good people there, but that doesn't mean that they're not part of the problem.
there needs to be a better solution for music reviews and discovering new music.
Yeah.
I feel when Spotify came out, I feel like it was actually a really good tool when it was before the algorithm, really.
Did you guys get a Fantana review?
What's that?
I don't know what that is.
Anthony Fantano.
Oh, the Needle Drop?
The Needle Drop.
He reviewed our record from 2010.
Okay.
When it came out, and it was a good review.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I don't.
He's like a men's rights activist, right?
No, he's not.
That's not true.
No. He's not at all. He's actually like he's a leftist, and
Fader wrote some hit piece on him where they were like,
"I didn't see that."
Mm-hmm. He used a picture of Pepe in one video.
Yeah,
like,
he has like he's like an internet guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he just has like a very mimetic sense of humor.
Yeah,
but he's not in any capacity. Right leaning.
Sure.
Oh, cool. He retweeted our record announcement a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
he's, I think he's a fan. Maybe.
He's like a good guy. Yeah.
He reviewed Rohnert Park, which was sort of our first step out of just traditional hardcore. And I remember thinking, maybe our band is maybe now we're being exposed to another audience because people like that never really. Recognize us before, so I have a very vivid memory of him reviewing that record, and it was nice, I guess. For him
I
want to
get a big,
nice
a
my favorite
Quint
album,
Indeed.
By the way.
Oh, that's your one. Yep. Do you guys know Big Quint Indeed?
It's very good.
No.
Have you seen him?
It's very good.
He's like this dude that reviews rap records,
yeah,
and he does like first listens and stuff.
Oh, nice.
But like, he's just this dude that he lives in like Sacramento or something
like that,
and it's always like just like whatever, like the biggest. Rap record at the time is he's this like big fat guy, and he'll give like a 5 minute thing at the beginning, and then you watch him listening to it, but he loves everything.
So zero negative reviews.
So it'll be like whatever, like Jay-Z's new album.
Yeah,
and he'll give like a thoughtful like 5 minutes, like first I'd be like Hova was like at a weird point in his career and blah blah blah, blah. And then I'll put it on and just be like. Like it'll take 2 seconds and just be like, oh fuck, oh shit.
He just gets up, hasn't started rapping yet, music with kick and snare.
He just loves it.
Yeah, and he'll get up. He gets up and dances in his room, and he's constantly breaking his like gamer chair and stuff. It's like it's like hella funny, but like it's also so joyful, you know? Like it's just like, oh, this guy likes stuff. And it's not his negativity isn't incentivized the way it is on a lot of these other sites and stuff.
Yeah, negativity is incentivized.
Yeah, because like when our L-Shaped Man review went up, it was the most read review on Pitchfork
really?
For like 2 months.
And we're not and very we're, popular in
yeah
in term. Oh, I mean, just period. But in terms of like Pitchfork world,
yeah,
we're rather small.
Yeah,
right. Mm, so sure. The fact it was so bad that it. Almost like that's why it's people still bring it up to me all the time. Not all the time, but rather frequently, because it was so clear that he had a personal vendetta.
Yeah.
You know? I want to know. I feel like we must have done something personal to him
without knowing,
like run over his dog or something. Like I have no idea.
Yeah.
But the review's so mean spirited and personal that I'm like, yeah. We must have done
maybe
something.
I don't know him at all.
I'm an outspoken hater of pop punk
the
music.
The lead singer of a specific big indie band that I know was the one who told me who this guy was. And it was because at the time he was like on Twitter, literally being like, if I see you, I'm going to beat your ass, dude.
Oh, really?
Telling him that.
Wait, who,
someone
the band?
No, telling that to the
someone
the
else
reviewer.
I know, like, got same thing kind of. And like, I think took a picture in front of his house.
Oh, my
or
God.
Something,
oh, wow.
And sent it to him or
but
something.
That's
like that.
All super funny and rad. But the reality is
what? Wait, going outside of his house?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah.
But music reviews and reviewers don't matter, and they don't change. It's not 2003 anymore, where when you get a favorable review on Pitchfork, then you're selling out 1,000 cap rooms. Like,
sure.
That doesn't happen anymore. So the fact that people and like musicians also need to check themselves to how much they care about this,
because
it's not, it is affecting their draw and their record sales zero.
That I think that's like a big thing about criticism is that like if you are going to operate under the mentality of like, well, like fuck the haters, like fuck like these negative reviews, you also can't on the fucking flip side, you can't be like, oh, but like these positive reviews are
exactly.
Like these
yeah,
mean
totally.
Everything.
Exactly.
Like you need to just like sort of take it all with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
And you know.
And if you're a true the best part, the reason why we create is because we have to do that. Any creative person knows that it's not right. It's not a choice that you make. It's something yes. that's inside you that yeah, you must that you just have to do. Period.
I wake up, I say it's time to create.
Exactly.
I say, honey, it's time to create.
Exactly.
That's what I say.
And
that's what I say when I wake up.
I know that our music comes from an honest place, and I know that we are good. So
yeah.
If I put any power into someone's words who wears a fucking fedora
Does
and likes pop
fedora?
Punk music, then what am I? Then what? Why
Does
am
Ian
I doing
Cohen
this?
Ian Cohen wear a fedora?
Oh no.
Confirmed. Yeah. At least once. I don't know.
That's, damn.
That's, yeah. That's like one too many.
Way, yeah.
Ian Cohen.
It's kind of a binary.
A
wait. What's wait? So your beef with them is Childish Gambino.
You want to protect
out.
Donald.
Can we just give my man Brandon props for give me an actual spit take just now?
Yeah, props.
I mean, that's how
no, I see the spit.
I know, I'm sorry.
Damn, no, it's okay. Don't rub it in.
That's not, that is how I know Ian Cohen's name.
Because he heard Childish.
Because you're holding that beef.
Well, I've been a member of the Gambino Hive for a while now.
The Gambino crime family.
Yeah, I love him.
A one something. It's like okay.
Yeah, 1.9 is like that is
you
like,
just want you just want to be TMZ. You want a job at TMZ. Bait. That's what you want.
Yeah, that's literally like it's literally just like reactionary bullshit where you're just like trying to get a click. There's nothing that's even though. Like, and Camp is like the one album of his that I like don't like because mm-hmm. it was like this is like 2011, like because the internet everything onwards is like amazing, but yeah, like nothing, even like any album that I like hate, even like an album I hate, it's not a 1.9.
Well, that's the thing. It's
that's
like,
I mean, like even though I did think that
1.9 is like it has to be making music worse.
Yeah, once you get into like the three territory, it's like, is it not recorded well? Like,
like
our guitars are in tune and the songs are at at the same tempo and they're on key.
Yeah,
therefore,
like,
it's not this.
A one is like Fantano, you shouldn't review it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to review this.
I did think
my
the Fantano video where he gave the new Chance the Record album a strong zero was funny.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it's like, this is funny, but it is also like... Yeah, you're trying to get attention and successfully doing so, but like,
but that's
about
I don't Chance is like Chance has coasted for a long time off of just like positive clout.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, he's open to criticism.
Sure.
I don't think Chance himself clearly is not open to criticism.
Oh,
I think he was having a hard time processing.
Yeah,
because I remember. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Me and Brandon are both friends with his manager, but I will say that it was funny. He had like lukewarm response to the album. And then Chance was tweeting like, "Okay, so you guys want me to kill myself? You guys want me to kill myself?"
Well, no, but did you read the whole thread?
What was the thread?
No, the thread was like, no, because I think that is unfair because this is the problem with Twitter. It's, you know, people only see bits. It was a whole thread where he like it led to him being like, point is .. I love my wife. Like it was all leading up to a
I mean,
I
think
my
he was
wife joke.
Backing it up. I think he was backing out a little bit.
But I don't think that I mean he didn't take there was like a tweet where he was just like telling a guy to like eat a dick, but like I do like thinking about him hearing the like I love my wife. I love my wife, like watching that video for the first time and then like that just blowing up and eventually reaching a breaking point where he's like, I guess I have to acknowledge this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like he did just tweet like, I love my wife. Ah, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like
the right move.
That's the right move. That's like the right. But he's a politician. Chance.
Yeah,
sure.
He like knows how to like move in a public sphere and like he knows how to, you know,
when I saw the Suicide tweet, I was like, all right, man,
the,
you know,
the suicide,
people just didn't love it as much as your
the
other
suicide
album.
Tweet, yeah, yeah. I think was like, a bit though.
Well, it's funny, like that's
I don't know
so,
if it was
that's
a
such
bit.
Like a modern reaction for someone in power to have.
Yeah.
Which is like I have somewhat like one person was mean to me online. So my millions of dollars and all my influence and power and stuff like that, like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's this weird thing where, like, do you guys know about how, like, BTS fans are like,
oh, I know,
are
yeah.
like crazy yeah. aggressive. If like one person tweets like, oh, you know, that new BTS video isn't very good.
Yeah.
You'll get like 100,000 people tweeting like, so I'm going to fucking kill
likewise,
you.
All those kids are going to be so embarrassed in 15 years.
I don't know.
Or just like move on and like
yeah.
it's like a
but
game.
Yeah. Like Taylor Swift, yeah. same like, thing. Like all the biggest people, like persecution is such a big component of like being a huge yeah. pop star now. And it's like, no, you're the biggest thing in the world. Yeah. You're not persecuted at all.
I
it's
mean, Jerry, so, yeah. yeah, Jerry Seinfeld on his new show was talking all that shit on Bobcat.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That shit's crazy.
Dude,
are you guys friends with Bobcat?
I am. Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the Seinfeld thing?
Yes. We'll yeah. talk off.
Sure.
Can you guys explain this to me a bit? Because I saw
Jerry Seinfeld
in the Bridget Everett episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. They talk about Bobcat without. I think they.
And
like,
who is Bobcat? Just
Bobcat Goldthwait,
okay.
legendary comedian.
Okay.
Who he directed like World's Greatest Dad and like
Got it.
A bunch mm-hmm. of shit.
He was in Police Academy. He was. He,
yep.
he was
that
an
was
actor.
Like his
okay.
yeah.
Scrooged.
Yeah, so big actor slash comedian, like, sort of in the 80s,
yeah.
and then has, like, sort of grown into, like, a, mm-hmm. Like, successful director.
Toured with Nirvana.
But, yeah, so, like, Seinfeld is just talking, like, wild shit, but, like, not saying his name, but
Bleeping
it's very easy
name.
Really?
It was very easy for people to put two and two together,
right.
because it was Jerry Seinfeld being, like, oh, he's, like, talked shit about me, this, this, and this. He's like him being like, oh, he's not a real comic, like
yeah, because he would put on a voice.
He just like, acts weird because right. he doesn't have an act or whatever, and yeah, it's like a really shitty thing to do if you're like a billionaire.
That's the thing. So you have you're worth $800 million, and
yeah.
you care that someone talks shit about you
yeah,
in the 90s?
In like the 90s, and you're like still hung up on. This on like you know like a
yeah you clearly
yeah.
won you won
well it's yeah. probably because he knows that Bob had a little bit of you know Jerry dated that 17-year-old and he was 39
yeah
and
yeah.
that's what and Bob made a joke about that in the press so Jerry
yeah
I mean you can't that's you can't really defend that
yeah
yeah
I mean that's a fair dig
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So you're dating a 17-year-old.
But Seinfeld yeah. was only like 40, though.
He was 39.
He was only 40 dating a 17-year-old.
My man was 39,
Do the math,
bro.
Folks.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the big lesson now is that, like, if you get rich and famous,
what's
like,
the equation?
No one can be mean to you
Yeah,
ever.
What's the equation? Half your age minus one, right? That's it, right?
Half your age minus one, and then is that still more than 17?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure is.
Oh, yeah, huh.
How do we even start talking about this? I forget.
We're just talking about people being
Oh, yeah.
I
started with Pitchfork.
Like,
yeah, well,
I
sorry. And then
they lost me when they are going back in time and reviewing classic records. Specifically, they lost me when they went back and reviewed 40 Ounces to Freedom by Sublime.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
did that
I'm a Sublime defender.
Yeah.
I would do it for... I recreationally defend them,
uh-huh.
you know? I think 40 Ounces to Freedom, iconic record, and it's a dumbass thing to go and retroactively review. Also,
and
you
like,
know, you can't do that. You can't go back and review an album that came out in a different decade.
The cat's out of the bag.
And like review it now, you know?
Absolutely. It's really.
Also, they're just like, they're a really funny band to
yeah.
debate about.
Sublime.
Yeah.
Because they're objectively bad.
You don't like them?
There's a rift in our band. Like,
well,
about
Sublime? It's
yeah.
not even about liking them or not. Like,
yeah,
they have a song called "Smoke Two Joints" and a song called "Date Rape."
Right.
End of conversation.
I didn't know they had a
yeah.
song called "Date Rape."
Yeah,
"Date Rape" is one of their most famous songs. It's not a pro date rape song.
It's an anti date
yeah.
rape song.
Hmm. But yeah, it's
what, how
anti-
does it go?
Sublime. Yeah.
Wait, so
weed.
You have a riff in the past? Have a song called "Date Rape." Even
Sublime does.
This is one of their first
this
singles.
This is an issue you have. But
I mean,
it,
I was just. I mean,
it's
I don't,
anti-date rape.
You are just offended by them in general.
I'm just offended by them in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like we're getting into, we have been into. irony culture for a minute now. And I'm not, if anyone truly likes their music,
I legitimately like
Sublime. That's great. Yeah, I'm not trying to.
Half our band is in the same boat as you.
But I understand people's positions. I've heard the arguments. You have to go a step beyond that. Then you can appreciate Sublime for what they are.
Yeah. I feel like if you listen to Disintegration by The Cure or something that is.
It's like perfect.
A masterpiece. Sure. Perfect. And then listen to Sublime or Korn or any of these other bands that are post irony culture people, that smart people are now being like, no, this is actually like good. It's like, no, it's not. Liking it and it being good are different.
I disagree. I think Sublime, especially the early records, are in fact good.
When you were a kid, was Sublime like music for popular kids at your school?
Yeah, and I didn't really listen to them back then. Well, really? I did. All right, so I listened to Sublime when they were like out and Brad was alive, you know?
Yeah,
when I was young.
Yeah. When I was in high school.
Without Rome.
No, way before Rome. Yeah.
But
then it became like a stoner band.
Sublime with Rome? I'm all in.
Really?
I'm all in. I'm all in on Rome.
Once you add the Rome.
It's like, why couldn't you just give me that Rome from the get-go?
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was
Excuse
in high school,
waiter,
we had our class
I would
picture.
Like to order one Sublime, hold the Rome.
And all the popular kids made shirts with letters on them, and they spelled out 40 ounces to freedom.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
In the
awesome.
Class photo. And then it was airbrushed out by the, you know,
yeah,
the
you
pigs
gotta,
at the
yearbook
hilarious. Committee. And it was like the big controversy.
Yeah, I got
that year
I got airbrushed
school.
Out of I snuck into my senior photo in junior year. I snuck into the class of I would you know, the cool thing about me, junior year I was hanging out with all the seniors, and so you
no
know
big.
all of my boys, they were about to take their senior photo. They were like, "Dude, sneak in this," and I snuck in it. They fucking. I'm blurred in the 2010 Robinson Secondary School yearbook senior photo. My face is like blurred out in like the big like group senior photo.
10-year anniversary's like, coming up.
I know.
You going?
Nope. I have no reason to. Why would I go? That'd
be funny.
People
to,
love
yeah.
going to their reunion.
People like anybody who is like
go into the senior reunion instead.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Anybody who like wants to go to their fucking high school reunion to like brag is like not in a place where they should be bragging.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like
yes.
I just think like I'm chilling, you know. I don't need to be there. I keep in touch with the people I keep in touch with.
Of course,
yeah.
I have my friends that I am still friends with, but like I don't need to like see some like rando. I don't need to like see some like fucking kid I went to like biology class with, and have them be like,
"So you do comedy?
So you still doing the comedy thing?
Yeah,
or whatever. Like I don't know. I don't.
That's what my grandfather's funeral was this weekend.
Ooh,
was just
checking
cousins.
In.
Are you still doing the music thing?
Yeah, you still. And always the second question is, so do you make any money?
Yeah,
it's like.
It's why is it okay to ask that in
why
like
why is that okay?
It's not okay to ask that in any other work
no,
field.
Yeah.
In any other
you're
sort of like
no, you're making money?
No yeah. No other profession is that okay at all.
Right.
But if you're in entertainment in any capacity, people just feel fine with being like, yes, so do you like make money?
Yeah.
Are you rich or are you poor?
Yeah.
Please, you have to. Please, okay, so you do something in a public sphere. Are you rich or are you poor? Like, it's weird. It's so weird. People are fucking weird about
it's
it.
Condescending.
Yeah. They're very condescending about it.
The subtext is like, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
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 We should. But circling back to the Sublime, my final point. And I won't debate you about Sublime. We're not even getting into it, but
welcome
I will
to
say
the Thunderdome.
That shit means a lot to me, okay?
No, well, like, look, they were doing a thing, and really, like, that music, the first couple albums captured a time and place, and that was Long Beach in the mid-90s. Also, everything that, it's a soundtrack to something that exists.
Yeah.
A type of guy, too.
That's
Southern
very
California
true.
Guy.
That's
type
so
of,
true.
And a type of girl.
These are all true. Yes.
I mean, I like could not really like tell you the difference between 311 and Sublime.
Oh,
which I don't,
because you're a good person.
I don't really listen to either. Yeah, like I don't really listen to either, and I've just sort of like heard them in the same breath.
Yeah,
a lot of times, and so like I didn't really know. Like it's like how like I couldn't. If you showed me a picture of like Michelle Branch and Vanessa Carlton, I could not tell you who's who.
Yeah, totally.
I'd just be like, yeah, the fucking piano lady, the fucking singer-songwriter, fucking early 2000s, whatever. I don't know. Michelle Branch and Vanessa Carlton, that's the same person to me, bro.
Yeah.
And same with like 311 and Sublime. I don't know. And I'm sure that this is heresy.
Yeah,
in some circles, I'm sure.
It depends.
Me saying this, you know.
Mind you, I've mostly listened to like the very old. I've listened to like their demos.
Dude, there was this
stuff.
One. Sure.
That's what I like.
What are their demos like?
Like really rough, and I mean, I like the Sublime. I like is when they are like a Long Beach party band that kind of like had weird genre crossing. You know.
I'll give you a little Sublime history here.
Okay.
Their last show was at the venue, the Phoenix Theater, where that borders Ceremony's hometown of Roanoke Park, California, in Petaluma, where we played our first show.
Wow.
Their last show. And my father was working for MCA Records and promotion when Sublime was active. And my dad was supposed to, so his job was to take the artists when they were on tour or coming through his territory, which was then the Bay Area, and take them to all their promotion, to the radio stations and all that. And my dad was scheduled to pick him up and work with him, and he died.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so my dad was supposed to be working with him and taking him to all of his promotional duties
That's crazy.
Day that he died.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So we can meet halfway in the middle with a fun little anecdote.
Yeah. Wait, the Sublime guy.
I'm sorry?
The Sublime guy died?
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think? You're talking about his dad died?
I thought your dad died.
Yeah, you'd be like,
you thought he was telling you about his dad's death
like,
in the context of Sublime?
Yeah.
Like, fun fact about my dad dying.
Yeah.
He was going to meet Sublime before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I told that story with...
Well, I wasn't. You said
referring to his dad's death by
like,
the guy died.
Yeah, I was like, hold up.
Yeah,
no.
I was going in it with the implication that we know who the guy, the Sublime guy, is.
Also, it's one of those bands that like the singer died before they had a chance to like fizzle out.
And this is the guy that they
keeps it in a vacuum.
Rome is the guy
that Rome replaced. He's really keeping it together.
Okay, yeah. There was this girl in my English class, Olivia Barrero, right? She was obsessed with Sublime and 311. She was always like talking about Sublime and 311, and she would never respect the dress code. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And I was in English class, and she would always like, I would always like work with her on group projects because it was like horny.
You want to see a thong? Is that what you're
implying?
Yeah,
like yeah. She would always like show like more
whale
cleavage
tail
than she was supposed to at school. And
you were like, yuck.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but have you seen the student handbook?
Yeah. But yeah, that's sort of my only like.
That's your take on Sublime.
that's like the only thing I know about Sublime is like sometimes she'd be wearing Sublime merch
with a thong,
and
sorry.
I was like horny. I was horny for her in high school, dude. But
okay,
that's like about all I know. I like that one fucking. Is it? Did Lana Del Rey did a Doin' Time is a. 311?
No.
Sublime song?
Well, Doin' Time
is Sublime.
Is a cover, but that's also a cover. Sublime did a lot of covers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I love...
Huh.
So that's a Sublime song. That is a Sublime song. But I love Lana's take on it.
That's...
I mean, she's...
Every view what I would expect from you, Brandon. I remember you put that on your story a week ago.
Yeah, it's good.
I remember that. Because I was like, dude, that song came out like 3 months ago.
Yeah, and
you're just discovering this.
Well, yeah, and
you're shouting out a cover of a Sublime song.
Yeah, and it's still the summer. And
it's summertime,
like,
baby.
I'm like, yeah, it's summer. I'm listening to Lana, and you know, Jetta windows down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cruising down Sunset. Cher, it's a story. Okay, let's go. It's nice out. It's nice out. I've got the windows down. I'm sharing this Lana cover of Sublime to my Instagram story. Just as like
close,
a,
to close friends or to the whole
to everybody.
To everyone,
I'm
nice.
Like, this is how I'm feeling right now.
I
this is the vibe.
We'll
I'm
move
on.
Away from Sublime, but the funniest arguments I get in is like they cover a lot of like legendary reggae and ska songs that are like staples. If you listen to that music, old songs, but like staples where it's like not, it's just like obvious.
Yeah.
It's more of like a tip of the hat type of thing, and people will like. Somebody will listen to two reggae songs and be like, do you know that Sublime like stole all this music? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you know?
Yeah.
Apparently they didn't write Rivers of Babylon.
Yeah. I just watched this movie, Wizard of Oz. I swear to God, Brudda Is stole this shit.
Yeah.
I'm on your side on that argument.
Like people will be like, they like, you know, they would like, dive into they would whoa you got a FaceTime
I'm this was an accident and I'm
who are you FaceTiming
I'm doing a podcast right now and this and somehow I pocket face
who did you just pocket FaceTime
you.
Oh
so sorry calling?
Shockingly I'm not nude
shockingly you're not
do
nude
you want to get nude
I will talk to you later.
Who am I listening to?
You're listening to the Yeah But Still podcast.
No
Oh, who are you listening to right now? Ceremony?
No.
Dead Can Dance?
No, the other one.
Death in June?
Close. Coil.
Coil.
All right, perfect. Talk. Okay. You guys can talk later.
Okay, bye, bud.
Thanks for coming on.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks.
That was weird because it was. I saw you pull it out of your pocket and he was already.
It was already. Somehow I pocket face.
Is that planned? You planned that?
No, swear to God. No.
Bro.
Yeah,
swear to God.
I mean, that would be a bad plant.
Yeah.
It'd kind of be a weird planned bit. Be like, yeah, I'm going to have.
I'm very embarrassed right now. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah, but we got.
If this was any other podcast, I felt like that was a little appropriate for this podcast.
That's
no,
fine.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
seemed
it
fun.
Fine.
Funny.
Yeah, it was fun.
I mean,
fun.
It's something I could easily edit out, but I probably won't.
Yeah, I think this episode is farm to table.
Absolutely farm
yeah.
to table.
I don't
yeah.
think there's any
We're still
edits.
Going,
Let's,
baby.
We'll make sure to tag Davey Havoc.
Was that Davey Havoc?
Yeah.
Who is that?
The singer of AFI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
I was very
new
dismissive.
New episode
I was
name
like, all
featuring
right.
Davey Havoc.
All right, buddy. All right, buddy.
I like to think
yeah,
that you just have
along.
Him on FaceTime in your pocket 24/7.
You
should have
mentioned
on.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Davey Havoc.
I made a phone call to my uncle while we were on break real quick to tell him a thing.
Yeah.
And I put my phone back in my pocket without turning it off.
Oh,
and
wow.
so it went to.
Dangerous
it,
move.
It pocket out a recent contact.
Dangerous move, man.
Rough.
You.
I thought it was just like a random.
Yeah,
one of your random boys or something. I know it was Davey Havoc. I mean,
yeah,
no, that's a dangerous move.
Dangerous move.
You leave your phone on.
I have learned my lesson.
Yeah, you're fucking. You
have learned my lesson.
You're in the club talking
and
to
like
hoes,
you know,
and you fucking accidentally pocket dial.
I consider him a celeb
your girl, and
yeah.
you're fucking. You're talking
celeb
she
cameo.
Hears you talking yeah. to some hoes in the club. That's you know.
Luckily my contacts are pretty clean.
Yeah.
Clean contacts.
Yeah.
CC.
Not like an Epstein black book situation.
Yeah, no.
Oh, but you know, circling back to the perverts, though.
Sure.
I want to do a whole, you know, I have a guest in mind that I want to come on and talk about the heyday of like the Scenester era, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know I have a specific guest who wants to talk about this, who's a singer of a band that toured with a lot of those.
Oh, really?
Freaks.
Uh-oh.
But yeah.
Who is it? Can you not name?
His name rhymes with Meath Muckley.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
I think he'd be good. But yeah, I want to do an episode with him sometime.
Yeah, where does Keith Buckley live?
Buffalo, New York.
That was okay. a weird yeah, era. That was a weird line. Era. Like the Scene era.
Yeah.
I was a little too old for that. Were you around for that? Like the swoopy haircut kind of
yeah.
like.
Yeah. That was in full effect when
yeah.
I started going to shows in 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That was such a weird time.
It was a weird
time. It was like when everyone had those phones that flipped around.
Oh, yeah, the Sidekicks.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, MySpace girls.
That was actually maybe one of the first times I felt old was when that was when I was.
See, I was like, I don't remember. I'm probably a little younger than you guys.
Personally, I was actually born in 2000. I was actually, yeah, that's the thing about me is I was actually born in 2000. So and people are like, they're talking about like, oh, Y2K, that was so crazy. I'm like, my parents didn't even conceive me yet. You know,
I just remember I just remember being at shows when I was like 14 or 15. First shows I was allowed to go to in downtown Chicago, you know, going to the Bottom Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And band members would like come out and talk to the girls that we were like talking to who were also 15.
Of course.
And like, I don't know.
Bad.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, like, but looking back at the time, I was like, I just thought everything was cool because I was like, oh, I'm at a show. Whoa, that's the guy in the band, you know?
Yeah. Right, right.
And like, you know, you're young. It doesn't add up. But like looking back, I'm like, why the fuck was he like, especially now having gone to a lot of shows and like been in green rooms and I'm imagining if I was in a green room with a band and one of them was like, you know what? I'm going to go pop out outside. There's a lot of kids out there.
Right.
There's a lot of 15-year-olds. Yeah. I'm going to go smoke a cig and, you know, talk to them for a while, maybe specifically girls.
Yeah, I can't count how many like people I know who have toured with like bigger bands where they're like, yeah, they always had like 13, 14-year-old girls around like on the bus and stuff.
Eek.
And like or even and not necessarily even like, you know, they were just like, oh, and they would change in front of them. And it was all just and they like maybe the guys thought it was funny at the time or what. But like it was just like even like nowadays, it's just like thinking back, hearing those stories, you're just like, holy shit. Like, how the fuck did these
mine was like for me, it was just funny because at the time I was I did not like it because like girls in our friend group would date guys that were in like big bands. And I didn't like it because I thought it was sad for them because I'm like, you know, this guy has a version of you in every city for sure. You know,
of course.
I'm like, and they would like, you know, behave as if they're his girlfriend.
The one and only.
Yeah. And like, you know, adjust their life around it as if they're in a serious relationship. And it was just kind of sad because I'm like, dude, this guy for sure has a version of you. But now as an adult, I'm like, yo, why was he dating a 16-year-old?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah. Why was he coming to our high school parties while we were drinking like Smirnoff out of water bottles?
Right, like we're at a high school party.
Yeah.
And that band we like.
How
is
are
here.
You okay with this guy?
No, it's
how are you confidently doing this?
Yeah. Super weird. Can you imagine going to a high school party right now?
Yeah.
No.
A party.
No, of course not.
I didn't go to high school parties when I was in high school.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm saying.
Bro, I didn't even go to high school, man.
Yeah. I've never been to school.
I didn't go to high school parties in high school either. And that's the thing.
Brandon's like, I refuse to go to that lame shit.
The window's closed. I can't start now. Yeah. I can't really make up for lost time on that one. God damn.
It was weird. Boy. Weird. We need to do a whole episode about the. I don't know how many names we can name, but there's definitely you can kind of tell though too.
Yeah.
And some bands were just writing weird like pervy lyrics and shit.
Yeah, so many of those like I feel like maybe when I was like a teen, you would read some of those lyrics and be like, oh yeah, it's like poetic, but it was like just stalker shit.
Stalker shit, and like also when you
abusive,
knew
like,
who they date, you know, it's like. You're talking about getting your heart broken by like a 18-year-old. I'll be generous and say like you're talking about like an 18-year-old girl wanting to make you slit your wrists and like you know.
It's super
I'm gaslighting a teenager.
Exactly. No, it's super weird.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just sort of a pop punk thing though. Like is like being in your 30s or 40s and writing about high school and like writing about being, you know, dating and
misogyny
stuff.
Misogyny is very accepted in the pop punk community.
A band I saw recently at Emo Night, they performed.
Oh. Wow.
Or not recently, just a couple of years ago. I don't know why I was there for this one, but that band that was like, they wrote like all the sexual sounds, like songs like Do the Helen Keller, you know, like
303.
Oh yeah, 303.
Yeah.
They're like old now. Like they're like old. But you know, seeing them, they're like singing these songs, like really sexual, and their fan base is like
tight dress.
Yeah,
with this underneath, I got the band.
Nobody above the age of 18 listened to that band.
No,
straight up.
Lord, no.
And they were not an appropriate age to be writing those, knowing who was listening to it. It was weird. Like
there may be a music reviewer out there who probably has a connection to that though.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Got his ass. Got his ass.
Typical fashion. We spend the whole episode Ian talking Cohen. About perverts,
dude. That
perverts are bad.
No, guys, perverts are bad.
If you're
perverts
listening
it's a theme
to
this pod,
don't dox Ian Cohen. Please don't do that. Don't dox him. No, that would I don't do that. That would just suck. Don't dox him.
I was gonna bleep his name, but I realized it's like in too many places in this
it's
episode.
Also
I don't
in
think
the
anyone
article.
Has said it except you.
Yeah, Brandon's the king of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were like, well, oh, our last Pitchfork review, you can look up Ceremony Pitchfork, immediately see by Ian Cohen.
Yeah.
So I'm just sort of like skipping that. I'm like, hey
that's all public information.
We can
you're
skip
not,
that. We can skip that step.
Yeah.
That is crazy that there was like a band that like just took a photo like outside of his house.
Was there?
That is nuts.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it him?
Was it who?
Was it his house?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder
from
if I could look
heard,
that up.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Wow. It's funny, but again, it's like
it is stalking technically.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't.
But also,
gang
who cares?
Stalking.
Who gives a shit? We've talked too much about this like irrelevant.
You guys ever
guy and,
hear about
you
know. Gang stalking and
gang stalking?
Yeah, targeted individuals.
Whoa.
No, what's that?
You know about this?
No.
Oh, it's a whole deep dive.
Oh,
I've actually
no.
been meaning to mention this on pod.
Oh.
It's if you look, go on YouTube and search targeted individual.
Okay.
What?
So basically, like it's definitely, it's a new kind of mental illness. Definitely, it's got to be schizophrenia adjacent. But they think that they're being gang stalked by the government, which is gang stalking would basically be like a team of people are stalking you to like,
that
basically
is a
they
very
think
common
that it's like
thing now.
It's a huge thing right now. And I mean, it's so the signs of gang stalking, like this is basically what they think that the government's doing or whatever, like making if you see like all white cars parked in a street or something or like a substantial, an unusual amount, like that was put in place to mess with you. Right.
Yeah.
The goal of the gang stalking would be to make you go insane. And they all some of them also think that the government has like technology to put voices in your head. I mean, it's mental illness.
Wow,
but here's the thing. There's a huge community online that have identified this and given it a name. Right.
Yeah.
And they all have this like community on YouTube where they talk about it. And there's all these there's like leaders and people. And according to their beliefs. Right. Like you shouldn't go see a psychiatrist. Any drug they would give you would just make it worse. Because the government's going to give you the drug.
Yeah.
The big flaw of this, I mean, they're basically trapped in a logic loop, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The flaw of it is like, why would the government have like a multi-million-dollar project to fuck with like a registered nurse in Ottawa or like Ohio or some shit?
Fucking rando.
Yeah.
And
like
allow you to post about it.
Yeah. They would like save this for like powerful people.
Yeah. Yeah. And like an elaborate year-long project to mess with a random fucking account that's never done anything involving the government.
And also, this is pretty common for anytime a rock star who's like on a crazy drug bender, they always think the government, like taught like when the Creed guy a few years ago was going crazy and posting like videos from like hotel rooms, he thought the government was after him.
Yeah.
Nikki Sixx thought the government
Scott,
was after
him. Scott Stapp.
Scott Stapp.
Nice.
The double
that,
S.
Have you seen The Beach Bum yet?
Yeah.
No.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh,
just
the movie.
Yeah, there's just like
amazing.
This one scene.
I saw it with Zed.
Oh, you saw it with Zed?
Yeah.
It's a perfect movie. I love it so much. But there's that one scene where like Zac Efron like with the like JNCOs and the fucking like huge vape rig and all that. He's amazing in the movie, but he's like playing Moondog a Creed song.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing him higher and he was like, this is Christian metal, this fucking <Yeah. laughs> he's like, you got it, this rocks. So good.
Yeah, what is it about like 'cause I know a guy who like got crazy on doing drugs and
it's
like
delusions of grandeur.
Well, he like jumped out a window in Manhattan and like
it's dark
because he thought the Freemasons were after him.
Yeah.
And he started seeing signs. This was like probably 10 or 15 years ago, but like, yeah, he was just like seeing numbers.
Well, it's paranoia and delusions of grandeur where you think that like you start seeing patterns and things.
Right.
Which is sad. Well, what's sad about this is that they don't know how to treat it yet. Right. And it's something new and it's specific to the internet. The fact that there's a community, I mean, imagine having a full schizophrenic episode, which should be scary enough, but you go on YouTube and there's people validating it.
They're like, oh, me too.
Like, you're not crazy. You're actually this. And so they still don't know how to like treat these people.
I'm thinking about a guy who's like, he's like, he's like one of these targeted, fucking targeted, whatever guy, targeted individuals. But he's just like, oh, I got 1,000 hoes on my dick. Goddamn, like, all these women want to fuck me. No, there's a whole row of white cars on my street. All these hoes are on my dick. Goddamn, no, all these bitches want to fuck me. No.
you gotta dive into it.
It's gang banging.
Also, because if you watch it,
dude. Okay,
the guy. There's interviews with the main guy. There's like a main dude who's ex-government, and he like insists that there's like evidence for it too, and like he is. They're all pretty lucid. That's the thing.
Yeah,
right.
They're all like, they aren't. You know, they sound really lucid, normal, but. They're describing something that makes no sense.
Well, the thing that's crazy is there's probably some kernel of truth to it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, even, like, the rock star thing, like, there's all that stuff about the FBI, like, conspiring
against
John Lennon and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's precedent for the CIA and FBI doing all this stuff. Problem is, it's like, I don't think they would do this
to
random.
To rando.
Like, someone who works in a restaurant.
Their rationalization is that it's, like, a test. They're testing on civilians.
Yeah, well, all conspiracies come from a seed of truth.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? Well, the Epstein stuff was like dismissed as a conspiracy.
I
for
hate
so long.
That it's called a conspiracy. People
I know.
Are still calling it a conspiracy theory right now. Like, let's be clear. It's not a conspiracy. Like, it was a conspiracy.
Right.
Like, there's, it like literally was a conspiracy.
Right, right.
People might have theories about
it's conspiracy
it.
Conspiracy fact.
Yeah. But normally, conspiracy theory is that you have a theory that a conspiracy took place.
I got into it with somebody at a party last night.
Really?
Yeah.
About Epstein stuff?
Yeah. Like, I got into it where I was, like, talking to a woman where I was like, yeah, fucking Epstein was killed, you know, obviously, whatever. And she was like, oh, come on now. Like, you know, she, like, literally thought Epstein was, like she literally was like, oh yeah, Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, and I was like, I think you're sipping that dumb bitch juice. Because she was like, your next thing you're gonna be talking about chemtrails, and
that's not even remotely similar.
I know,
right? Like, which is
well,
exactly
it's what it's
like
don't
being,
get me started
well, it's
I'm
like
gonna
he
get
either killed
off.
Himself or he was killed, like,
or he was
he
I mean
didn't,
the fact that he
no
was
no I'm saying but like there's
himself.
Two options there, and then chemtrails.
Yeah,
a lot has to go down for there to be chemtrails.
Yeah.
You know, people think he's not
dead
and that there was no Epstein.
Oh, that there was like a body double.
Or like Jeffrey Epstein wasn't a real person in the first place.
I do think that he is dead.
Yeah.
I do think that he is dead and was killed.
Everyone.
Are you guys hungry at all? I kind of want to eat lunch.
That's a great question.
All the pedophile talk got you.
Yeah.
Stirring up your appetite for some pizza.
Dude, I was at a pizza place in New York the other day,
and
there was a picture by the register of Kevin Spacey, like a celeb picture, posing under a sign that said pizza.
Yeah, he likes.
And I was
he
like,
likes pizza,
damn,
right?
Dude. I started seeing that stuff.
He likes pizza.
He likes pizza. Yeah,
I was like, fuck, man. Now I'm turning into one of these people.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be.
We're on your guys' clock, and whatever you want to do.
I want to eat.
We could eat.
Yeah. I want to eat, dude. What are you guys doing after this? Do you guys want to eat lunch?
Sure. Yeah.
I want to fucking eat lunch, dude. I'm so fucking hungry. All I had was one apple.
Damn.
It's 3:40. All I had today was one apple. Are you kidding me?
I gotta
go eat lunch.
I have not consumed one calorie today.
Yeah, we gotta eat lunch, Jack.
Okay. Oh. I don't know why you're directing this at me.
Oh, I'm not directing it at anyone. I'm just saying I'm hungry. I want lunch.
All right. Well,
is that everything?
Yeah, you guys got anything?
Plug your album.
Let's get the plugs off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your album.
Our album, Ceremonies in the Spirit World Now, comes out on Relapse Records August 23rd. We play our record release shows August 23rd in San Francisco at August Hall, and August 24th here in Los Angeles at the Regent Theater.
Beautiful.
Please come. You're both very much invited. We'd love to have
when
you.
When is it? When's the LA show?
24th?
On Saturday.
Oh, I'm going to be... Well, that leads us into our next plug. This nice. Saturday, I'm going to be in Mexico City.
Whoa.
Pinche Gringo.
I still think that the venue's not called Pinche Gringo, and somebody's just calling him a Pinche Gringo.
Pinche Gringo, it's the Pepsi Summer Comedy Series. Yeah. I'm doing a show in Mexico City this Saturday. Our friend Chase is opening. And next month, September 18th, September 19th, and September 20th, I'm going to be in Richmond at the Richmond Music Hall, and then Harrisonburg, Virginia at the Golden Pony. And then the 20th, me and Jack are going to do a live Yeah But Still at the Kennedy Center. There's like a new building. We're going to be doing it there. Felix is confirmed.
Felix Biederman of Chapo Trap House.
We've got Felix in there. Jamal live will probably DC. Be there.
The prestigious Kennedy Center.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. The prestigious
Congratulations.
Kennedy
what an
Center
evening that'll be.
I know.
On September 20th. So come through. Thanks
All right,
for coming
ceremony.
On.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank
thanks
you
for
having
us.